This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Did you know Long Island played a pretty big role in the American Revolution? A nearby salt marsh restoration project could serve as an example for others around the region. Plus, the Bridgeport community wants librarians back in schools. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. A Long Island town has teamed up with a school district to preserve a historic Revolutionary War-era house. WSHU's Desiree Diorio reports the building in Smithtown has ties to the famous Culper Spiring.
Arthur House, at the corner of New York Avenue and Route 25A in Smithtown, was built in 1752. The Smithtown School District has owned it for decades, but hasn't been able to find a partner to help preserve it until now. Town officials tell Newsday the school district will turn the property over to the town and then apply for grant money to restore it. The White House behind a white picket fence looks run down now, but it played a key role in the Revolutionary War. Abraham Woodhull once lived there. He was one of George Washington's top spies, who used the alias Samuel Culper. Other members of the spy ring also lived there during the war. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
A salt marsh restoration on Cape Cod could provide a model for shoring up other struggling coastal wetlands. Workers and volunteers planted 90,000 tufts of salt marsh grass in Dennis to jumpstart the marsh's recovery. The New England News Collaborative's Barbara Moran reports it's one of the largest such plantings ever attempted in New England.
For decades, a road cut the Sisuit Creek Marsh off from the sea. The marsh withered and collapsed. The natural water flow was restored in 2008, but the marsh only partly recovered. So now, it's getting a helping hand. April Vopes is an ecologist with the Association to Preserve Cape Cod, the group leading the restoration.
We see this as an opportunity to restore this marsh, but also learn how a large-scale planting like this could be impactful at other sites.
Healthy salt marshes provide flood protection and valuable habitat for wildlife. Massachusetts has lost nearly half its salt marsh since the 1700s. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Barbara Moran.
The Trump administration's rollback of federal restrictions on bank fees will cost Americans $21 billion a year. That's according to a report from Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The rollback overturns a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rule adopted in 2024 that would have capped bank overdraft fees at $5. It preserves traditional overdraft fees that average about $26 to $35 per transaction. Blumenthal's report finds that's a huge annual cost to consumers.
$21 billion. That's the cost of the rollback in rules that protect consumers.
He says he's introducing legislation to reinstate the CFPB rule.
And I'm hoping we can make it bipartisan because the outrage about this $21 billion charged to consumers ought to be bipartisan.
The Trump administration rollbacks also allow banks to increase credit card late fees and block homeowners from receiving escrow interest payments. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Bridgeport had recently laid off their school librarians in an effort to save money, but now there's an effort to bring them back. That story is coming up. A local developer has renewed his calls for a bridge connecting Long Island and Connecticut across the Sound. This time around, the idea involves underwater tunnels. Estimated at $50 billion, it would connect I-95 in Bridgeport to Sunken Meadow Parkway on Long Island with a 12-mile bridge plus a mile underwater on both sides. He's asking for a feasibility study to be done next year. Work could begin this coming autumn to remove groundwater contamination at a former Navy industrial plant in Calverton. Suffolk County health officials found chemicals there that threatened Swan Pond. The Navy's plan is to pump out and treat the water, then build an underground barrier to prevent further contamination.
The town of Hamden, Connecticut, will get $1 million from the federal government to build an emergency operations center. U.S. Representative Rosa DeLauro says she secured the funding. She says it'll be a nerve center during emergencies of all scales. Two new grant programs in Connecticut will help municipalities expand tree canopy cover. $1 million is available for fighting pests, invasive species, and climate challenges that threaten trees. And another $230,000 will help towns remove dead trees and replace them with new ones. Connecticut is actually one of the most forested states in the country with 60% tree canopy cover. But the same can't be said for its cities. For example, some neighborhoods in Bridgeport have less than 5%. Parents, staff, and elected officials in Bridgeport are vowing to bring back school librarians who were laid off due to budget cuts. The New England News Collaborative's Eddie Martinez has more on how some parents are taking it upon themselves to step in as advocates fight to make sure similar layoffs don't happen in other districts.
Bridgeport resident Ashley Hyde walks down to Black Rock School. It's a short while before her daughter leaves school, so the street is mostly empty as cars occasionally pass by. Instead, she heads to a small container about the size of a mailbox to drop off a stack of books.
All right, so here's our final stop. Drop these off at the school library. See? Take a book, share a book.
Hyde is stocking books in the little free library outside the school. Hyde says this is because the library inside of the school no longer has librarians to check out books.
It's not what a library is supposed to be, you know? Yes, libraries are supposed to be a little quiet, but not as quiet as that one, that's for sure.
Bridgeport eliminated all of their librarians last year due to budget cuts. So parents like Hyde do what they can to keep books in students' hands through things like the Little Free Library. Hyde has trouble closing the latch, so she uses a twig to keep it shut.
I think it just slides open very easily, so I think you have to put a stick in it to keep it properly locked.
The library at her daughter's school has been open only a few times this school year.
There's definitely kids in Black Rock schools or in Bridgeport schools that aren't going to see a library all year.
Hyde works at the Westport Library and sometimes takes books that are out of circulation and brings them to Bridgeport. Bridgeport historically faced high property taxes to help fund its schools. It doesn't have as high property values as other places like Fairfield. Yet the city recently lowered property taxes. That may end up meaning even less money for the city schools. But the city could make up for lower property taxes with other tax revenue. Erin Buckley, a former Black Rock Elementary School librarian, says she was a casualty of Bridgeport's funding woes.
By the time April rolled around, I started to go to a lot of board meetings and found that we were one of the items on the chopping block.
Buckley says her students took it hard when they found out she lost her job.
There were just so many kids crying.
Buckley says school libraries do more than help improve literacy rates and prepare students for college.
And that's the other thing as a library, is that it's a reprieve. There were a number of kids that were going through some tough situations.
Buckley would give these kids busy work, and they in turn began to trust her.
They're shelving books. I don't know if it's because you're not necessarily always making eye contact. They start telling you things that are on their mind.
Buckley now works as a substitute teacher at the school. Valerie DiLorenzo, president of the Connecticut Association of School Librarians, says there's a reason why school librarian positions are easily eliminated.
Because there's no law that requires school librarians to be in schools. It's a position that can be cut.
DiLorenzo says the state should step in to change that.
What we would like to do, and we're working on trying to put this together now, is that we call it a school librarian ratio bill.
The bill would require a district to have library staff tied to a fixed number of students, like other teaching staff. DiLorenzo says it's not an easy task.
We know that these things take time, and they also cost money.
Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim and city council members are in a good mood. The council voted to accept $35 million in city and state aid for its school district in mid-May.
This was a historic commitment, both locally and state, to Bridgeport Public School children. There's never enough, but I want to thank the council for supporting the increases this year and next year. I think it's going to make a difference. I know the Board of Ed is here. It's been a pleasure to continue to work with you.
Board of Education member Willie Medina listened as city officials celebrated over the extra money. He says Bridgeport still needs more money. Otherwise, the district will probably find itself in the same place next year.
We don't have enough to do what we need to do financially to keep this district stable.
The district ended up finalizing its budget in mid-June. School librarians did not make it on this year's budget. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eddie Martinez.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And don't forget to check out our new merch shop. Support the news and music you love and look cool while doing it. It's on our website. Head on over there and then click shop up at the top. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you for being with me today. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.